19-channel EEG recording. A 19-channel EEG recording provides a comprehensive snapshot of brain activity by simultaneously capturing electrical signals from all standard sites in the International 10-20 system. This high-resolution data allows clinicians to assess functional connectivity, hemispheric asymmetries, and regional dysregulation, making it an invaluable tool for QEG analysis and individualized protocol development. The BioTrace Plus software paired with the Nexus 32 amplifier is a commonly used platform for conducting 19-channel EEGs. Electrodes are embedded in a flexible cap that ensures consistent placement across sessions. After fitting the cap to the client's head, clinicians prepare each site with conductive gel and check impedance to confirm that all channels are within acceptable electrical resistance thresholds. Low impedance is essential for capturing clean signals and minimizing artifacts. Once recording begins, BioTrace Plus displays real-time data from each channel. Clinicians can observe raw EEG traces, monitor power spectral densities, and view topographical maps that illustrate brain activity using color-coded intensities. For example, areas of excess high beta activity may appear as hot zones on a heat map, indicating hyperarousal that could be linked to anxiety or insomnia. In contrast, cold zones may suggest underactivity in regions associated with executive function or emotional regulation. Demonstrations of 19-channel EEG recording show clinicians how to perform this process systematically. They include instruction on fitting the cap, verifying sensor contact, troubleshooting high impedance channels, and minimizing artifacts caused by movement or muscle tension. For example, clinicians learn to identify jaw-clenching artifacts that appear as high-frequency noise and to distinguish eye blinks that register as large, slow waves in frontal sites. The clinical value of a 19-channel EEG lies in its holistic view. Rather than focusing on a single site or frequency band, it captures the dynamic interactions across multiple brain regions. This allows for more accurate identification of dysregulation patterns, such as global underactivation, focal excesses, or asymmetries. For instance, a client with widespread low alpha power might benefit from calming protocols, while a client with left frontal alpha asymmetry may require interventions targeting mood regulation. In addition to assessment, 19-channel EEG recordings can support advanced training protocols such as Z-score neurofeedback. In this approach, the client's brain activity is compared to a normative database in real time, and feedback is delivered to guide activity back towards statistical norms. This method is especially useful for clients with complex symptoms that span multiple brain systems. Client education is integral to the 19-channel process. Clinicians use visualizations to show clients how their brain activity correlates with symptoms and goals. For example, seeing elevated high beta in frontal regions may help a client understand their experience of persistent tension. This insight strengthens engagement and builds a shared understanding of the training rationale. While rich in data, 19-channel recordings also require thoughtful interpretation and clinical judgment. Effective use depends not only on technical skill, but also on the clinician's ability to integrate EEG findings with behavioral, emotional, and contextual information. Through experience and continued learning, clinicians refine their ability to translate complex data into meaningful and actionable interventions. Full neurofeedback training session. A full neurofeedback training session integrates all assessment and preparatory components into a structured therapeutic encounter. Each session is designed to reflect the client's specific goals and is informed by previous data collected through intake, QEG, behavioral observations, and client feedback. Protocol parameters are selected to target dysregulated brainwave patterns, using individualized thresholds and feedback settings that promote learning and self-regulation. The session typically begins with a brief check-in, during which the clinician and client discuss recent experiences, including changes in symptoms, mood, sleep, or stress. This dialogue allows the clinician to assess progress, identify any new concerns, and make minor protocol adjustments if necessary. The check-in also reinforces the client's role as an active participant and helps maintain therapeutic rapport. Before training begins, a brief baseline EEG is often recorded to evaluate the client's starting state for the day. This helps the clinician compare activity across sessions and determine whether arousal levels are optimal for training. For example, if the client appears fatigued, thresholds may be lowered slightly to promote early success and build momentum. Training is frequently organized into structured intervals, such as 10 blocks of 3 minutes, with short rest periods in between. During each training segment, the client receives continuous real-time feedback through visual, auditory, or tactile modalities. For example, a relaxing music track may increase in volume when the client produces more SMR or alpha activity, reinforcing that state. Alternatively, a video may pause when the brain deviates from the target pattern and resume when the client regains the desired rhythm. Throughout the session, the clinician monitors both EEG data and behavioral cues. A rise in theta or high beta may signal distraction or overarousal. The clinician can then pause the session briefly, offer supportive coaching, or adjust the threshold to maintain the training within a productive zone. Conversely, if the client demonstrates sustained performance above threshold, the challenge level can be increased incrementally to reinforce continued engagement. Ongoing communication between clinician and client is essential. Periodic check-ins during the session allow for emotional support, clarification of sensations, or adjustment of comfort. A client who becomes frustrated or overly focused on feedback signals may benefit from reassurance or a reframing of expectations. A client who appears calm and engaged may be encouraged to deepen their awareness of internal states and how they relate to feedback outcomes. At the end of the session, a post-training EEG is sometimes recorded to evaluate immediate changes in brain activity. This can reveal short-term shifts in target bands and provide a sense of whether the session produced the intended physiological effects. Following the recording, the clinician and client review the session's outcomes together, discussing both objective EEG data and subjective experiences. Clients are encouraged to reflect on how they feel, how the training aligned with their goals, and whether they notice changes in focus, mood, or arousal. These reflections guide the clinician in deciding whether the current protocol remains appropriate or requires refinement. This collaborative review reinforces the client's role as an expert in their own experience and promotes active ownership of the training process. Clients are also encouraged to apply their neurofeedback skills in everyday contexts. For example, a client learning to increase alpha activity for anxiety may practice deep breathing or mindfulness to evoke that same state outside the training environment. The transfer of learning from the clinic to daily life is essential for long-term change and reflects the educational foundation of neurofeedback. Consistency is emphasized. Clients who attend sessions regularly and engage in self-regulation practices between appointments tend to show the most robust improvements. Clinicians support this process by offering encouragement, reviewing progress over time, and adapting training plans to meet evolving needs. Each session builds upon the last, progressively enhancing the client's ability to self-regulate and navigate stressors with greater resilience. Ultimately, a full neurofeedback session is more than a technical procedure. It is a dynamic exchange between clinician and client, data and experience, physiology and awareness. The integration of personalized protocols, adaptive feedback, and collaborative review defines the strength of the neurofeedback model and supports enduring transformation in mental and emotional functioning. Outcomes and adjustments, negative effects and responses. Although neurofeedback is generally safe and well tolerated, some clients may experience negative effects during or after training. These responses can include headaches, irritability, fatigue, increased anxiety, or disrupted sleep. In most cases, these effects are temporary and resolve quickly. They often reflect an overcorrection or excessive activation of neural pathways, particularly when training thresholds are too aggressive or when protocols do not align with the client's current physiological state. Recognizing and responding to these effects is critical for maintaining client trust and safety. When a client reports discomfort, clinicians must validate the experience, listen attentively, and avoid minimizing or dismissing the report. Dismissing a client's concern risks undermining the therapeutic relationship and can discourage future openness. Acknowledgement of discomfort affirms the collaborative nature of neurofeedback and reinforces that the process is responsive and adaptive. Addressing adverse responses involves a careful review of session data. The clinician examines EEG traces, training thresholds, and any recent protocol changes. If a client experiences overstimulation following beta training, for example, the clinician may reduce the threshold, shorten the session length, or shift to SMR or alpha training to support relaxation and nervous system balance. These adjustments aim to recalibrate the training intensity and prevent further discomfort. Education is a key part of managing side effects. Clinicians explain that neurofeedback is a learning process that sometimes produces transient reactions as the brain adapts. Just as physical exercise can lead to temporary soreness, mental training can provoke brief periods of dysregulation. When clients understand this analogy, they often become more resilient in the face of minor setbacks. Self-regulation strategies can also help mitigate unwanted effects. Clients may be taught to use paced breathing, mindfulness, or progressive muscle relaxation before and after sessions. These techniques can reduce arousal, stabilize the nervous system, and promote recovery. In some cases, complementary interventions such as heart rate variability training or biofeedback for respiration may be added to enhance regulatory capacity. Documentation of adverse effects is important for clinical accountability and quality improvement. Clinicians record the type, duration, and severity of symptoms, as well as any protocol modifications made in response. This record becomes part of the client's ongoing treatment plan and contributes to a deeper understanding of how that individual responds to training. If negative effects persist despite adjustments, the clinician may consult with colleagues or refer the client to another professional. Clients with complex neurological or psychiatric histories may benefit from multidisciplinary care that integrates neurofeedback with psychotherapy, medical treatment, or nutritional support. Collaboration across specialties ensures that the client receives comprehensive care. Ultimately, the goal is to restore balance and support positive engagement with training. By validating the client's experiences, adjusting protocols, and maintaining open communication, clinicians minimize harm and preserve trust. These moments of difficulty often become opportunities to deepen the therapeutic alliance and refine the clinical approach, contributing to a more effective and responsive neurofeedback process. Session outcomes. Session outcomes in neurofeedback training provide essential indicators of client progress and the effectiveness of the intervention. These outcomes are both objective and subjective, encompassing changes in EEG activity, shifts in cognitive or emotional functioning, and self-reported experiences. By monitoring and reviewing these outcomes, clinicians can tailor the training to better meet the client's evolving needs and reinforce progress over time. One of the primary outcomes measured during a session is the amplitude of the targeted EEG frequency bands. For example, in a protocol designed to increase SMR activity, the clinician tracks how often and how long the client maintains SMR amplitude above threshold. These data are often quantified using points, which represent the number of successful periods, typically 250 milliseconds, during which the brain maintained the desired activity. Increases in these values over time reflect learning and growing self-regulation capacity. Beyond raw EEG metrics, clinicians assess whether the client is achieving more balanced arousal levels. Neurofeedback aims to shift the brain toward optimal arousal, neither overactivated nor underactivated. For instance, a client with ADHD may present with an elevated theta/beta ratio in frontal regions, signifying a tendency toward daydreaming and inattention. As training progresses, a reduction in this ratio may indicate improved focus and mental engagement. Similarly, a client with anxiety may show reduced high beta amplitude following training, reflecting a decrease in cortical hyperarousal and greater physiological calm. Subjective reports are another vital outcome domain. Clients may describe feeling more clear-headed, focused, emotionally stable, or relaxed after a session. These immediate changes often correspond with the EEG data and provide qualitative validation of training effectiveness. To track these experiences over time, clinicians may use structured tools such as Likert scale symptom ratings or open-ended journal prompts. These tools document changes in sleep quality, emotional reactivity, attention, or other relevant domains. Collaborative review of outcomes enhances client engagement. Clinicians share visualizations from the session, such as graphs showing amplitude trends or heat maps displaying activity intensity, to help clients understand how their efforts influence their brain activity. These images make abstract EEG data more tangible and give clients a sense of control and accomplishment. A client training for better sleep, for example, might see decreased high beta amplitude over multiple sessions and associate this change with improved nighttime rest. Session outcomes also guide ongoing adjustments to training protocols. If a client has consistently improved in one area, the focus may shift to new goals. For example, once a client has stabilized SMR activity and reports fewer attention difficulties, the clinician may introduce alpha enhancement to support creativity or emotional regulation. This fluid adaptation of protocols ensures that training remains aligned with the client's goals and current state. When outcomes do not meet expectations, clinicians engage in careful review. They assess whether the feedback was clear, thresholds were appropriate, and the client was in a state conducive to learning. Factors such as sleep deprivation, stress, or distraction may affect performance and can often be addressed through lifestyle coaching or adjustments in session timing. Persistent plateaus may prompt the addition of new strategies or further QEG assessment. In sum, session outcomes offer a feedback loop not only to the client's brain, but to the therapeutic process itself. By combining physiological data, client insight, and behavioral observations, clinicians and clients work together to refine and advance training. This iterative process reflects the educational and collaborative nature of neurofeedback and supports sustained growth in mental and emotional functioning. Tailored approaches. Tailoring neurofeedback interventions to the individual needs of each client is essential for achieving meaningful and lasting outcomes. Every brain is unique, shaped by a combination of genetics, experiences, environmental factors, and current physiological states. Effective neurofeedback respects this complexity by designing protocols that align with the client's specific neurological profile, symptoms, and therapeutic goals. Personalization begins with a comprehensive assessment. Clinicians consider QEG findings, symptom reports, and behavioral observations to identify patterns of dysregulation. For example, a client with generalized anxiety may benefit from enhancing alpha activity in parietal and occipital regions to promote calmness. In contrast, a client with ADHD might require beta reinforcement in frontal areas to support executive function and attention control. These individualized decisions ensure that training targets the brain circuits most closely linked to the client's difficulties. Feedback modalities are also adapted to client preferences. Some clients are more responsive to auditory cues such as tones or music, while others prefer visual feedback like animations or videos. Clinicians may explore different modalities to determine what promotes the most engagement and learning. For clients who find feedback overwhelming, simplification or smoothing of signals may reduce anxiety and improve performance. Children and adolescents often require especially creative and flexible approaches. Younger clients may benefit from gamified feedback in which their brain activity controls a character or object on screen. This interactive format keeps sessions engaging and encourages consistent participation. Session length is typically shorter for children, and rewards such as token systems or small incentives may be introduced to reinforce effort and attention. For adolescents, neurofeedback may address emotional regulation, impulse control, and academic stress. Clinicians use age-appropriate explanations to foster understanding and buy-in. They also consider social dynamics, developmental changes, and lifestyle habits that may affect brain regulation. Tailored interventions for this age group might emphasize frontal lobe function, combining training with practical strategies for stress management and goal setting. Parental involvement is often crucial when working with younger clients. Parents can provide observations that inform protocol adjustments and reinforce self-regulation skills at home. Clinicians may coach parents on creating a calm, supportive environment and help them recognize signs of progress or setbacks. This collaborative approach strengthens generalization of training effects and increases the likelihood of long-term success. Clients with co-occurring conditions require nuanced protocols that address multiple targets. For example, Someone experiencing both chronic pain and anxiety may benefit from alpha enhancement to reduce somatic tension and beta inhibition to calm cortical overactivation. These clients may need slower progression, more frequent check-ins, and a broader range of feedback techniques to remain within a therapeutic window. Tailoring also involves monitoring and adjusting protocols as clients grow. Progress in one area may reveal new challenges or open the door to additional goals. For instance, a client who improves focus may then wish to work on sleep or performance enhancement. The clinician revises the training plan accordingly, ensuring it remains responsive and relevant. This iterative process reflects the core philosophy of neurofeedback: learning, adaptation, and empowerment. By honoring the individual needs, preferences, and goals of each client, clinicians foster a therapeutic environment that supports autonomy and transformation. Tailored approaches are not only more effective, they are essential to the integrity and success of the neurofeedback process. Tools and references. Between session tracking. Between session tracking is an essential tool in neurofeedback, allowing clinicians to monitor changes that occur outside the training room and to assess how the client responds to neurofeedback in real-life settings. It extends the therapeutic process beyond the immediate session and provides valuable insights into the client's progress, challenges, and adaptation over time. By systematically gathering information about sleep, mood, focus, stress, and other key symptoms, clinicians can evaluate the effectiveness of protocols and make informed decisions about adjustments. Tracking tools may take the form of paper-based forms or digital questionnaires. Online formats offer convenience and immediacy, allowing clients to submit updates from home or on the go. These tools can be customized to address specific areas of concern, such as sleep onset latency, frequency of panic episodes, or level of daytime fatigue. Clients may complete daily or weekly logs that include both quantitative items, like rating scales, and open-ended prompts that invite narrative reflections. Paper forms are still widely used and can be equally effective, especially for clients who prefer handwriting or who have limited digital access. Some clients find that writing out their responses fosters deeper reflection. Regardless of format, the best tracking tools strike a balance between structure and openness, offering space for measurable symptom data while also allowing the client to describe experiences in their own words. Clinicians use tracking data to identify patterns that might not be evident within the limited time of a session. For instance, a client may not notice day-to-day improvements in mood or focus, but may report fewer emotional outbursts or better task completion over the course of a week. These longitudinal observations help clarify the cumulative effects of training and support timely protocol modifications. Effective between-session tracking also depends on clinician inquiry. During sessions, clinicians review the submitted forms and ask clarifying questions that probe deeper into the client's experiences. For example, if a client notes improved sleep but continued morning grogginess, the clinician may explore bedtime habits, nutritional factors, or unresolved stressors. This dialogue allows the clinician to interpret data in context and build a more accurate understanding of what supports or interferes with the client's progress. The process also supports therapeutic rapport. By engaging the client in thoughtful conversation about their week-to-week experiences, the clinician communicates respect for the client's perspective and a genuine interest in their well-being. This interaction encourages clients to be more observant of their internal states and to take an active role in shaping their training experience. In addition to symptom tracking, between-session monitoring can reveal important triggers and buffers. A client might discover that anxiety spikes on days with poor nutrition or lack of physical activity. Another might notice that mindfulness or breathing practices enhance the calming effects of neurofeedback. Recognizing these connections empowers clients to make informed lifestyle choices that reinforce their training. Over time, tracking tools can be refined to reflect changing goals. Early in training, a client might track emotional reactivity or sleep disturbances. As progress is made, the focus might shift to performance metrics, social engagement, or quality of life indicators. Clinicians regularly review and adapt tracking forms to ensure they remain relevant and supportive of the client's trajectory. Between-session tracking is more than a data collection tool. It is a bridge between the structured neurofeedback environment and the fluid context of daily life. By encouraging self-reflection, reinforcing client agency, and providing actionable insights, tracking forms play a vital role in the success and sustainability of neurofeedback interventions. Research studies. Research studies form the empirical foundation of neurofeedback practice, providing clinicians with evidence to guide assessment, protocol development, and therapeutic expectations. The field includes a range of methodologies, from randomized controlled trials and meta-analyses to case studies and pilot investigations. Together, these studies build a growing body of literature supporting the efficacy and applicability of neurofeedback for various psychological and neurological conditions. Meta-analyses are especially influential in establishing the credibility of neurofeedback. These large-scale reviews synthesize data from numerous individual studies to evaluate overall effectiveness. One landmark meta-analysis by Arns and colleagues in 2009 found that neurofeedback significantly improved symptoms of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, with effect sizes comparable to stimulant medications. These findings help position neurofeedback as a legitimate, evidence-based alternative or complement to pharmacological treatment. Research on ADHD remains the most robust within the neurofeedback literature. Multiple controlled studies have shown that protocols targeting the theta/beta ratio and enhancing SMR activity lead to measurable improvements in attention, impulse control, and executive function. These effects have been demonstrated across age groups and settings, including school-based interventions and clinical practices. For clients seeking non-pharmacological interventions, this body of evidence offers strong support for the use of neurofeedback. Neurofeedback is also supported in the treatment of anxiety disorders. Studies have shown that increasing alpha or SMR activity and decreasing high beta can reduce physiological hyperarousal and improve emotional regulation. Clients often report greater calm, improved sleep, and reduced reactivity following training. While not as extensively studied as ADHD, the literature on anxiety continues to expand and shows promising results. In depression, particularly treatment-resistant cases, neurofeedback has demonstrated efficacy through protocols that target frontal alpha asymmetry. Research suggests that balancing alpha power between the left and right hemispheres may improve mood and cognitive flexibility. This approach is often used alongside psychotherapy, with evidence indicating that the combination produces stronger results than either modality alone. The non-invasive nature of neurofeedback makes it a compelling adjunct to conventional treatment. Case studies contribute practical and nuanced perspectives that complement large-scale data. These reports detail individual outcomes, protocol adaptations, and clinical observations that illustrate how neurofeedback can be personalized to meet specific needs. For example, a case study may describe how a client with trauma history benefited from alpha-theta training to access and integrate emotional memories. These narrative accounts demonstrate neurofeedback's adaptability across a wide spectrum of presentations. Research continues to explore neurofeedback's applications beyond traditional clinical disorders. Studies have examined its role in managing chronic pain, epilepsy, insomnia, and substance use disorders. Emerging work on peak performance training for athletes, executives, and musicians has also drawn interest, focusing on protocols that enhance focus, creativity, and resilience under pressure. As neurofeedback grows in popularity, so does the importance of remaining grounded in rigorous science. Clinicians are encouraged to stay current with new findings, critically evaluate study quality, and apply evidence in a way that respects individual differences. Attending professional conferences, subscribing to peer-reviewed journals, and participating in research collaborations all support the same. In conclusion, research studies are not peripheral to neurofeedback practice, they are integral to its integrity and evolution. By grounding their clinical decisions in empirical evidence and staying attuned to emerging developments, clinicians ensure that their work is not only effective but ethically responsible and scientifically sound. Conclusion. Neurofeedback is a structured, client-centered process that blends neuroscience, technology, and collaborative learning to support mental and emotional well-being. It draws on the brain's capacity for neuroplasticity and uses real-time EEG feedback to guide clients toward healthier, more adaptive patterns of brain activity. This process is not passive treatment, but active training, requiring sustained participation, clinician expertise, and continuous adaptation. The success of neurofeedback begins with a comprehensive assessment. Through intake interviews, behavioral observations, and QEG recordings, clinicians identify the brainwave patterns associated with the client's symptoms and goals. These data inform the development of individualized protocols, supported by the foundational principles of the International 10-20 system and implemented with attention to electrode placement, signal integrity, and artifact control. Throughout training, sessions are structured and dynamic. Clients receive feedback that is proportional or event-related, tailored to their neurological profile and learning preferences. The clinician monitors both EEG signals and client experience, making ongoing adjustments to threshold settings, feedback modalities, and session pacing. Outcomes, both physiological and psychological, are tracked over time using session data, client interviews, and between-session symptom logs. Negative responses, while uncommon, are approached with clinical sensitivity and protocol flexibility. They are acknowledged, documented, and used to inform revisions that maintain client trust and therapeutic momentum. The clinician's ability to recognize and respond to these reactions is central to the safety and efficacy of the process. Individualization is a hallmark of neurofeedback. Children, adolescents, adults, and clients with complex or comorbid conditions all require different strategies. Clinicians tailor interventions to each client's cognitive style, preferences, and evolving goals. Tools such as 19-channel EEG and Z-score training expand the capacity for precise and comprehensive regulation, while simpler single-channel setups offer focused and accessible entry points for many users. Tracking tools bridge in-clinic work with daily life, allowing clients and clinicians to monitor symptom changes, behavioral patterns, and contextual influences between sessions. These tools promote self-awareness and help align the training with meaningful real-world improvements. All of this is grounded in an expanding base of empirical research. Meta-analyses, controlled trials, and case studies support neurofeedback's efficacy for ADHD, anxiety, and depression, with growing evidence for its use in other conditions and performance domains. This research foundation legitimizes neurofeedback as a professional discipline and guides responsible, evidence-based care. At its best, neurofeedback is not simply a set of procedures or technologies. It is a dynamic learning process. It creates a space where clients develop greater awareness, regulation, and agency, supported by clinicians who guide, adjust, and learn alongside them. The therapeutic relationship is egalitarian and collaborative, emphasizing partnership over prescription. As the field evolves, ongoing education, ethical commitment, and scientific curiosity remain essential. By integrating assessment, training, monitoring, and research within a framework of compassion and rigor, neurofeedback clinicians help clients achieve sustainable improvements in health, function, and quality of life.